Hello and welcome to a new episode of the East West Coffee Shop. This will be the fourth episode in which we hear about the future of Euro-Atlantic security with the new Biden administration. Our guest today is Alexander Gabuyev, who is not only a senior fellow with the Carnegie Moscow Center, but also a long-standing member of the Younger Generation Leaders Network. Alexander will speak about the current state of US-Russia relations, and he's pretty bold in saying that it probably gets worse before it gets worse. Although there are still some low-hanging fruits which allow for cooperation between Moscow and Washington, the overall picture is dim, not least due to the Navalny case and Ukraine. In addition, Alexander will also brief us on the state of affairs in Russia-China relations, and he will address the question whether the US election has brought the governments in Moscow and Beijing closer to each other.
The US-Russia relationship has become increasingly strained in the last couple of years following Russia's annexation of Crimea, Russia's interference in US elections, Western sanctions, war in Syria. The list of grievances is very long and continues to grow. So what can we expect under new President Joe Biden? The low-hanging fruits of positive cooperation in the US-Russia relationship have already been picked or are about to be picked. The most precious prize was the renewal of the START Treaty without any conditions, and that's exactly what Tim Biden did up front. Other areas of possible cooperation include work on Iranian nuclear file. Well, Russia was very instrumental in bringing about JCPOA and is very likely to support the US attempt to rebuild the deal and go back into the agreement after modifying it. Russia is also likely to cooperate with the US on North Korea if things turn into a more dangerous and provocative direction. And Russia will be also engaged in discussions on arms control, although they will be not easy after collapse of multiple elements of the pre-existing arms control regime, breakdown of the INF Treaty, collapse of the Open Skies Treaty, and development of very new systems, both inside Russia and also in the US, growing role of cyber and AI powered weapons. So if the goal is to bring all of these topics together and develop a coherent framework, that's not a very easy task. Let's hope that 4 years of Team Biden will be sufficient to conclude any negotiations, but I wouldn't be very optimistic here. And then on the other hand, list of areas where Russia and the US can collide is long and continues to grow. And they include all familiar topics like Ukraine. The most visible one recently is Russian activity in the cyber domain, like the SolarWinds attack. And there is a big gap between our understanding of the this operation, but it's clear that both the intelligence collective collection operations and the more disruptive and dangerous behavior in the cyberspace will not be left unanswered by Team Biden. Then there is Russian activity in Africa. There is Russian involvement in Venezuela. There is assumed Russian malign activity on the internet, all of the disinformation campaign targeted at undermining strength of American and European democracies. And also one of the more serious battlegrounds is the post-Soviet space, where Trump's administration has been reluctant to interfere into domestic affairs of Belarus and mostly limited itself to vocal statements, but didn't do much action and didn't have a coordinated policy to address those issues together with European allies. With Biden, who proclaimed that restoration of trust in democracies and building an alliance of democracies to push back against the wave of authoritarianism led by China and Russia, democracy, human rights agenda will become increasingly important, particularly in the countries of the former Soviet space and Russia itself. We've seen that the sanctions introduced after imprisonment of Alexei Navalny, the treatment of Russia's domestic opposition, is definitely becoming a very prominent battleground between Russia and the United States. So this relationship will remain increasingly rocky, and it probably going to get worse before it gets worse. So the basic task for the two countries is not reaching any sort of detente or a new reset, but to manage the confrontation and to make sure that it doesn't go out of control. The good news is that Team Biden comes here equipped with very good professionals, very clear-eyed, and doesn't aim at a new reset. So it's a question, how do you manage this this competition, not solve all the problems? Recently, we've seen the thickening of the Sino-Russian axis from a period of time where the two countries had a relationship that can be described as an alliance or axis of convenience. They are moving to a much more full-fledged cooperation following Crimean annexation and Western sanctions on the Russian side, and then the trade war and growing understanding in the US and among its allies that China is the major strategic competitor and the overarching challenge for American, maintaining American primacy and defending the interests of American allies and American supremacy in the Pacific going forward. So with that, Russia and China are more destined to work closer together. Both countries will face increasing pressure. And although we are unlikely to see the abrupt collapse of US-China relationship the way that was happening under Trump, we're going to see a much more steady and well-orchestrated competition led by Team Biden. But still, the optics here and the trend line is much more about competition rather than cooperation. With that, Russia and China will have to rely on each other more. Russia will seek more Chinese markets to boost its exports of hydrocarbons and other commodities. It will look for China to replace Western technology, and it will continue to tap into vast Chinese financial resources and try to attract Chinese loans and Chinese investments. China will need Russia as a secure and friendly neighbor on the north, that it's not part of the group of countries that are seeking to contain China. It also needs Russia as a stable source of hydrocarbons and other materials that Chinese economy still needs to continue its growth, although the swift change in Beijing's rhetorics about the environment and the very ambitious environmental plan that will result in gradual change of energy mix is a long-term challenge for the relationship. But the next decade, we'll probably see growth in trade volumes driven by new projects like Power of Siberia or Power of Siberia 2 or new LNG projects in Russia that are targeting the Chinese market. China also relies more on Russian scientific research, fundamental research, particularly in applied mathematics, AI, development of algorithms, and also it increasingly looks for military cooperation with Russia that goes beyond arms trade and is about developing limited interoperability. Any US strategy based on the idea that you can peel them off each other and you can drive a wedge between the two is destined to a failure. And the realistic strategy should be rooted in a clear understanding that this partnership is pretty deep, despite all the differences, mistrust, and competition. Beijing and Moscow know how to manage this competition. And the West's major and overarching goal should, how do you ensure that the two countries are not coming closer to each other, closer than they are now, rather than trying to drive them two apart.
Thanks for joining us. This was the East-West Coffee Shop, brought to you by the Younger Generation Leaders Network. We hope you liked this episode. If you want to learn more about YGLN, have a look at our website www.europeanleadershipnetwork.org and also follow us on Twitter at YGLNTweets.